So yes, we're going to spend the next several weeks in the book of Psalms. So what are the Psalms? The Psalms are a collection of collections that represent the final stages in the process that spanned centuries. The Psalms have been sung and prayed and read in liturgy and in churches and worship for thousands and thousands of years and so much more. The scope of the subject matter and the range of the whole collection strongly suggests that the collection was viewed by the editors of the book that it is instruction for our faith and a guide for our lives with the biblical law, the prophets, and canon literature. The Psalms are given to us as a means of grace, a bridge or a conduit, so to speak, for us through which God's presence can be part of our lives. There are themes when we read through the Psalms that just amaze me, that the deep and the raw emotions that are on display. One is of praising God and the next questioning God. There is joy and there is anger, despair to celebration, frustration to triumph, and almost every other emotion known to mankind that you can think of is there in the Psalms. There is a unique message and design to the Psalms that you won't notice unless you read them from beginning to end. Many of the Psalms were written for the choir, but you cannot consider the Psalms a hymn book. There are 51, or there are 51, I keep wanting to add more to the Psalms, but there are only 150 Psalms. 73 of which were authored by David. Asaph wrote. I keep wanting to say written too. I'm doing my own English up there this morning. Asaph wrote 12 of them. The sons of Korah wrote 11. Solomon and Moses wrote 3. Haman and Ethan wrote 2. And 49 of them were authored by we don't know who. They were anonymous. There are many types of psalms. There are psalms of prayer. You know me well enough to know that I'm not going to try to pronounce the other part of that. There are psalms of praise, petition, giving thanks, and of course, psalms of songs. The psalm is one of the most quoted books in the New Testament and the most quoted book by Jesus. And the importance of the Psalms is shared throughout the New Testament. Paul said in Colossians 3, "Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through the Psalms, hymns, songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts." And in Ephesians 5, he again says, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart from your heart to the Lord. These passages contain important insight to the nature of worship from Paul and is the core to his teaching to new churches. Now this morning, we're going to focus on Psalms 1 and 2. They are an introduction and framed by two blessed declarations. These Psalms they introduce us to the whole collection. They paint a picture of blessedness, of the one who provides a path of the sinful people, delights in the instructions of, of law or the law of God and walks in truth. Such a person chooses the way of righteousness. So as we walk through the Psalms this morning, I'm going to do this a little bit different than I normally do. I'm going to pick apart some of the scripture. And so we're probably going to read the same verse a couple of times as we get through it. So you'll want to write some stuff down and, I don't know, question me later or talk to Pastor Brandon about it to get clarification. If you want to turn in your Bibles to Psalms 1, we'll start in verse 1. You can turn in your Bibles, your devices, and as always, it'll be on the screen behind me. Psalms 1, blessed. We're going to stop there. Okay. Blessed is a condition of being, of those who know God and do His will and put their trust in Him. Now, don't confuse this part with being with health and wealth in reference from God, but for assurance that we are living in guardianship and faithful care of God. The psalmist begins by proclaiming the blessedness and of godliness and ends by declaring all living things to praise God and His earthly and heavenly sanctuaries. Blessed is the one who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. We must walk and order our lives in accord to good, godly counsel, so that we can do and be what we are called and created to be, so we can stand up strong against wicked things. This kind of psalm, this first psalm in the book, is a compare and contrast. The author takes us back and forth between godly and ungodly living, ungodly people. He starts out telling us that we are blessed if we don't do the things that are wrong and harmful. So let's take a quick look at the different parts of verse 1. Blessed is the one who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sits in the seat of mockers. It's interesting that if we want to be blessed, we need to avoid certain things. He doesn't start out by giving us a list of the do's, but instead a list of don'ts. If you want to be blessed from God, don't go and do these things. Don't get help from wicked people. A wicked person is not somebody who sins, because we all sin, we all make mistakes. But a wicked person is someone who lives a lifestyle of wickedness. They have no problem saying and doing things that hurt others. They are considered by the world to be wicked. Mockers are the ones who mock the ways of righteousness. They are filled with contempt and disdain for people who try to live by faith. Even today, they are able to show their obvious contempt for anyone who tries to live a life of faith. They see us as narrow-minded because we put God first in our lives. They consider it to be foolish or old-fashioned. They mock the way of faith and the way we trust. If I had been tasked to write Psalms 1, I would have made it much simpler. I would have simply said, blessed is the person who does not hang out with the people your mama told you not to hang out with. (Laughter) That's what a blessed person should not do. Now, then the psalmist goes on to tell us what we should do. In verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. The law of the Lord, God's word, our Bible. It should be our delight, our desire to know God, to know his word. We should want to spend time reading the Bible in the same way that we like to have a cold drink after spending an hour in the hot sun mowing our lawns. We need it. We should read it and meditate on it daily. The author understood the importance of reading the word. Put it away in our minds and our hearts and our spirits as the days go on, and then bring it back and remember it, what we have read, and consider the importance in our lives so that we can live in a manner that brings honor and glorifies God. Verse 3. I promise I will start moving faster than one verse at a time, but as always, wait for it. Verse 3, that person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. There is so much information in this one verse. I could have spent the whole morning on this one verse, but I do need to keep moving because I have two books to cover this morning. So take notes on this so you can ponder on it later and dwell and get into it more. But this one verse promises that those who delight in the word of the Lord will be rooted. We are rooted in our Lord Jesus Christ. We are strong. Our faith runs deep. We are not easily moved. We know where our strength comes from. Good roots keep us in place. We know where we are. We know where we will be. When we delight in God's word, we are right. A tree... Notice, this tree is not planted by water. It is planted by streams of water. We have access to a never-ending supply of water, a never-failing source of life. God is always and forever with us. When we delight in God's word, we are recognizable because everything we do brings forth truth and is bearing fruit. Galatians 5 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. When we delight in God's word, we are real. We all have a job to do in its season. We are all given abilities to do things, to do something. It is important to see how we can use what we have been given by God in the church, to use those for the church. In life, things change, seasons change. But we see here something very amazing. When we delight in God's word, we are remaining. What we do for God's kingdom may change, but we are to bring forth fruit continuously all year long. Our place here and now is not It does not have an end date. Our leaves do not wither. We stay alive all year long. We do not have an expiration date or a time where we can say, God, I have done my time. I have served. Pick someone else. And that makes it so that when we delight in God's word, we are rich. You come to recognize that worldly riches are not our goal. It is by doing all that we are created to do for the glory of God that we truly prosper. So the first book of Psalms reads like the new Torah. It starts with, you are blessed. Psalms 2 reads like a poetic reflection, and it ends with, you are blessed. Psalms 1 leads out the blessed path for individual people. Psalms 2 talks about the same types of things as far as the struggles with righteousness and wickedness. Psalms 2 does those same things, but for entire nations. Psalms 1 shows the final end of our personal journey. Psalms 2 demonstrates the final victory in our human history. The world plots and schemes against God and God's word, his plan, his rule. The world rebels in their selfishness. They see a godly lifestyle as nothing more than chains and restrictions to their freedom rather than a pure source of joy and freedom that it is meant to be. But this rebellion of theirs is in vain. Psalms 2:1. Why do the nations conspire and the peoples plot in vain? In the ancient Near East, people would often rebel against newly crowned kings. Now, I don't know if they thought that the new guy would not be established enough to defend what was his, or if they just wanted to take out the new guy, or to see what he was made of. Smaller kings would take on new kingdoms. The people there would fight their new king. But either way, the people would think that they know better than the man in charge, that they can do better. They want it their way. They are right, everybody else is wrong, much like attitudes today towards people in authority. And it is the same attitude on display towards God. In their foolishness, they have no understanding that God has the trajectory of history already in motion. Psalms 2:7, I proclaim the Lord's decree. He said to me, you are my son, and today I have become your father. From this time and through his son, Jesus Christ, the final end to all history is in the very thought of that, every nation will tremble. Every knee will confess, or every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And it concludes like this in verse 10. Therefore, you kings, be wise. Be warned, you rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and celebrate his rule with trembling. Kiss his son, or he will be angry, and your way will lead to your destruction. For his wrath can flare up in a moment. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. The early church understood Psalms 2 as a backdrop to the passion and the final vindication of his anointed one through the coming resurrection. It also tells us that the work of the church is a natural extension of that coming resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus would be broken on the cross, and through that power of the brokenness, he breaks that power of his foes. We are engaged in a global proclamation of Jesus to all nations, proclaiming that to all the nations of his inheritance and the ends of the earth, his possession. There are great truths of how blessed we are when we take refuge in him. So my friends, be blessed by rooting yourselves in Jesus Christ. Be blessed by rooting yourselves in God's word. And be blessed by taking refuge in him who created all things and made all things possible. Let us pray. God, we thank you for your word, for being a God who wants to know his people and wants his people to have a deeper, loving relationship with him. Help us, Lord, to see where we can make time to read your word, to meditate on it, Lord, to make it not just words on paper, but to make it part of us, so that it draws us closer to you. Lord, we ask these things in your precious and your holy name. Amen.